Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I need you to pay close attention to this message. It is not an ad. This is about Canada Land, and this is about you. You need to know that the news crisis is about to get a lot worse. You've heard about the layoffs. We're about to have news closures, and it's very likely that we're going to be seeing the defunding of the CBC. Where are you going to get your information from? What can you do about this? You can support Canada Land. We need you to. And so for this month and this month only, you can become a Canada Land supporter and get everything our supporters get for just $2 a month. That is an almost 80% discount. The clock is ticking on this. It disappears at the end of the month, and then we will not offer it. We need your support. We need to keep news coverage alive in Canada. Go right now to canadaland.com/join. And thank you.
This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress that is trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. It's a great mattress at a very reasonable price point. Comes with a 20-year warranty and a great deal for our listeners. Douglas is giving you a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. That is douglas.ca/CanadaLand.
This episode is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, and online store. For a free trial and 10% off, visit squarespace.com and enter offer code CanadaLand at checkout. What's it like to be a stand-up comic? I've often been curious about this, especially here. We pride ourselves on our history in the comedy business here in Canada. We consider ourselves a very funny people, and everybody's got the list in their head of all the great comedians who came out of here. But what is it actually like if that is what you decide to do with your life and you happen to live here? We're going to find out in a minute. My guest today is Rebecca Kohler. She's a Toronto-based stand-up comedian. She does not hold much back, and she'll be with me in a moment. Wait for it. This episode is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. Trust is important. There are a lot of mattress lies out there, a lot of mattress liars. And I didn't intend the pun, but it occurred to me that there is one as I was saying those words. Listen, I am not lying to you. I have experienced the Douglas mattress. It is an exceptional mattress at a surprisingly affordable price point. It is a mattress that sleeps cool, doesn't have that weird thing in the summer where the mattress gets like an oven. It's a very good product. It's delivered to your house in a box. You don't have to go to a big mattress store. It is a medium firm mattress, which is what Canadians prefer, and it comes with a 365-night trial and a 20-year warranty. What more can I tell you? Douglas is giving our listeners a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. This episode is brought to you by the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, CAMH. We hear a lot about the opioid crisis. We talk a lot about the mental health crisis. These are serious problems. These problems affect us all. They've affected my life and my community.
They are not intractable problems. I don't know what's going to solve them on a policy level, but day to day, helping people, that's what CAMH does. They do it on the ground when people need help, and they do it through research. The team at CAMH gave our team a tour of their facilities, and we were really just blown away by the incredible, heroic work that they're doing every day. They treat everyone with dignity, and their research is seeking and finding real solutions for everyone around the world. Help change mental health care forever. Your support will help CAMH build a future where no one is left behind. Donate at CAMH.ca/CanadaLand to help CAMH treat addiction and build hope. I am very excited to welcome Squarespace as a new sponsor to Canada Land. I'm fond of any service that lets people, individuals, artists, creators, journalists, whatever, make stuff that looks as good and works as well as anything that a big corporation could come up with. And that's what Squarespace has done. They've removed a lot of the cost and technical hurdles for making really modern looking websites that do everything that websites need to do these days. You just drag and drop your content in. You can choose from a very large library of pre-made templates that are really well designed, and you can just customize them, make them your own. And once you're done, it's a responsive website. It knows if you're checking it out on a phone or a tablet or a computer, and it adapts to that environment. Every site comes with a free online e-commerce store. And there's 24-hour support, which is a big deal. I mean, everyone's got a friend who can help them build a website, but do you really want to be calling that friend at 3 a.m. because the site's broken? Plans at Squarespace start at $8 a month. You get a free domain name if you sign up for a year. You can play around with it and build a website without entering your credit card. But when you do enter your credit card, enter the offer code CanadaLand and you'll get 10% off. What's your job like?
So are we starting now?
Sure, we've already started.
Oh, come on. Okay. My job is full of greatness and excitement and fulfillment and also horrifying difficulties, irritations, and self-searching.
I'm interested in the typical, like, Marin, like, how were you damaged as a child and you came to do this? I'm not interested in that.
Okay.
I'm more interested in just, like, what's a week like?
Right. Okay.
Right?
Yes. Okay. I see what you're saying. So let's say it's a busy week. Maybe I'll play Monday night at the Rivoli, which is like, not an open mic, but it's a professional show, but it's not a club. Let's put it that way. So there's a difference between a club show and then an independent show or like a bar show.
Yeah.
Right?
And I'll go to the Rivoli to see comedy and there's a feeling of like it seems loose and casual. I don't feel like I'm at some like cheese dick suburban, you know, laugh barn. And I always wonder, is this what they do for a living or is this where they like workshop the stuff that they then take to the strip mall comedy club where they actually get paid?
That's probably what I do. I probably workshop stuff. I mean, I'd prefer to perform at the Rivoli 90% of the time or a club like that because I do work for Yuck Yucks and it is a certain amount of mainstream mentality. So there are like wacky and creative or abstract ideas I might have. But if I try that at Yuck Yucks and Ajax, they're going to stare at me like, what? Right.
Yeah.
So the Rivoli is more loosey-goosey and it's Queen Street in Toronto. So it's hipper.
Yeah.
And in Ajax, no offense to Ajax or Mississauga, but the pulse is weaker.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way, right? So anyway, that's what you would do at the Rivoli. You would go, you would practice stuff and kind of enjoy yourself.
Right.
And then let's say on Wednesday, I have a show at Spirits and then also kind of just workshopping / having fun.
Yeah.
Then maybe Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'm in Yuck Yuck's Kitchener. And that's where you do a longer set and you get paid relatively well.
And you weren't paid very well. I'll be getting all up in your business throughout this.
That's cool.
So when you do the fun, like if you could just do Rivoli and if you could just do downtown comedy to that crowd, you might do that all the time.
If we got paid to do that, that would be amazing.
Right. But
that's not the case.
Paid at all or you're not get paid well?
Like the Rivoli, you get $20.
Right.
Which is kind of a token, which is awesome because most of those shows don't pay anything.
But there's value there for you're doing what you love to do. There's value there in that you're trying stuff out and honing your act.
Yeah.
And you're keeping the muscles toned and all that.
Yeah, and you can kind of be yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, because there's something to be said about that thing. When you do something you love, does it change when you start getting paid for it? And it does.
Yeah.
I always have more fun on a night where it's like I get paid in beer tickets, but I'm doing what I want to do.
Yeah. I've heard it argued the other way where people are being snobby about that suburban, you know, Yuck Yucks job. And there's a certain kind of comedian who's like, no, that's what it's about. It's about getting the cleanest, most
perfect 5-minute set that's going to make anyone laugh.
The universal, yeah.
Yeah, and they take like a lot of pride in being a pro. Like, it's not a drag for them to have a mainstream act. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, I do believe a good joke, you would hope, maybe would make everyone laugh. That's actually, now that I say that, I don't. Because there have been shows I've done in suburbs where I'm actually grossed out that they are enjoying me in a weird way.
What do you mean?
you know, I look into the crowd. I see. Okay, I'm just going to make a bunch of blanket statements.
Sure.
I see a bunch of baseball caps. I see some of the other stuff they're laughing at. I see hecklers saying things I don't care for. And then they laugh at a joke of mine, and it's like, ew.
Yeah. I don't want your laugh.
Yeah, if we're on the same page, is something wrong with me?
Brah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that doesn't happen often, and that sounds super judgmental and elitist. And but no, there are times, basically, you know, these aren't the people I would hang out with personally.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
Is there something beautiful? I mean, you know, I look at like somebody like Louis C.K., who I think of as...
He's an everyman.
He's both, because it's really idiosyncratic. It's dark as hell. It's often quite philosophical.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And yet he's a guy who I think could probably go and make dudes.
He's a perfect example of what you're talking about.
Baseball caps laugh anywhere.
And it's still smart.
Yeah.
And you're right. So yes. Using that example, I think you're right. There is a beauty to that, and that is probably the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm getting distracted from my audit here.
Okay,
so,
yes.
So you'll do a couple nights downtown. And then how many nights will you do in clubs?
Clubs. And see, the club scene, I'll probably get fired, whatever. Yuck Yucks, the shows are dwindling. We used to have, some clubs had 6 shows a weekend. And if you had a decent enough rate, that could maybe pay your rent plus a bunch of other
stuff. So I won't ask you yours, but what is the range of rates for a Yuck Yuck performer? Like,
I think a starting out, so I'm now a headliner.
Yeah.
So there's a host, a middle, and a headliner.
Yeah.
So a host's pay, like from a baby host, would maybe make $50. Mm-hmm. That's also probably somebody who doesn't have the kahunas to say $50 is BS.
Right.
Can I swear here?
You can swear here.
Okay. Because I think I started at $50, and when I told some other guys, like, oh, I'm at 50, they were like, I didn't even know that was a rate. Like,
right, you know,
they started at like 85 or something. So so a host would make 50 to, I think, 150 is the cap for host.
Yeah.
Middle, the cap is $125. And for headliner, if you are like a triple A, super seasoned, excellent comedian, I think it's $350 a show.
$350 a show. And there used to be 6 shows a weekend.
There used to be 6 shows a weekend.
So you could do pretty well.
Look at that guy. So what's he making? Let's say even $300 a show times 6, that's $1,800. Yeah, it's $1,800. So that's not a bad weekend, right?
And does a headliner come back to Yuck Yucks weekend after weekend? Or is this where touring comes
in? This is where touring comes in. And this is where it is a great thing to be a Yuck Yucks comic, because there are, I think, let's say at least 8 clubs, I think, in Ontario. So, and then you kind of rotate.
Yeah.
That said, the roster is jam-packed and there isn't really enough work. And then coming back to now, most clubs, especially in the summer, are down to 2 or 3 shows a weekend. And that is not enough money to make a living.
Yeah. So at the heyday, if you were at the top of your game,
yeah,
going from club to club, you could pull a couple grand a week based on performing your ass off on weekends.
Yes, yes.
And now it's maybe down to half that.
Yeah, maybe if, you know. Because Mississauga used to be 6 shows, and now I think it is 2?
Yeah.
3? So that's not even half. That's, you know, it's a joke.
Right, right. So now it's down to, like, top of your game. Headliner is like, a grand a week, and then that's, you know, I guess you do some stuff during the week. But 50 grand is a living. But there's not a lot of room for a lot of people to
But also, that's if you're working every week.
Yeah.
Which is also really rare. You have to be the hustle master.
Yeah.
Where are my gigs? Where are my gigs? Where are my gigs? Right?
Are you a hustle master?
No.
Okay.
I'm not.
So what do you do?
To make a living?
Well, I mean, and I know that there's other stuff that comes into the picture as well. So let's talk about all that.
Well, and also just because this touches on what I was saying about Yuck Yucks and how I always have fun at Yuck Yucks. So don't get me wrong. And anyone who's listening who's insulted, I love you guys. But because because you feel like you kind of have to conform a little bit, mm-hmm. I'm never 100% comfortable, maybe, at a Yuck Yucks. Actually, as the years go on, I'm more and more comfortable because I'm kind of like, I don't give a shit. But I was never a hustle master because, to be honest, every time I get a gig sheet, like a booking at a Yuck Yucks in the suburbs, mm-hmm. it kind of feels like I just booked a dentist appointment.
Yeah.
Like, there's this... Because you got to rent a car, get out there, wait around, do this show that might be horrible, drive home. It's a weird...
Grind.
Yeah. And so I don't hustle because secretly I don't... It's like this weird thing where like I have to and I should want it. And theoretically, that's how I make my living. And meanwhile, I don't want to do it.
I think that people have... in their heads, you know, this is a job that people fantasize about doing.
Yes.
It's certainly one that I've felt like, oh man, I'd love to do that. And then, you know, you hear about the reality of it. The fantasy, I think, is like that downtown thing of like, you're going to go to a club and you're just going to kind of walk like Louie
out eating
of the subway,
a piece of pizza.
Eating a piece of pizza. You're going to hang out with a bunch of funny people who you want to hang out with anyhow. You're going to just kind of like amble on stage and express yourself. Everyone's going to love it. And then you're going to hang out afterwards and somebody hot is going to want to come have sex with you.
Yeah.
Which is very different than this kind of like sleeping in a motel.
Yeah.
They didn't laugh.
Yeah.
You didn't want them to laugh.
Exactly.
And they didn't.
Yeah.
And then you got to come home and then you got to just keep doing it.
Yes.
Doing it. Yeah.
And Louis C.K., I think, would be the first to say this. He's been through that too.
Yeah.
Right? Now he's Louis C.K. He can walk in eating a piece of pizza and they'll be like, move aside. You know, it's Louis C.K. But he has, I've read his blogs and followed his career for years. And he's also had horrible experiences.
Yeah.
And it is something I think you have to go through, in my opinion, to a degree, to be good.
I listened to that to Marin's podcast.
Yes.
And it seems like that's almost kind of the not even just to be good, but like for him to even take you seriously, like in the fraternity, and it does seem to be mostly a fraternity of comics. Mm. It's like, did you pay your dues?
Yes.
Did you do that road thing?
Yes.
And if not, I don't.
Well, look, you know, Ricky Gervais. Who I'm sorry to admit in public, I've watched his stand up and I laugh a lot. Like, but he is considered like. Old school stand-up comics do not give him an inch of respect because he did not come up through the horrid road gig experience.
He parlayed his success through The Office into just like, and now I can sell out a big theater and that's what I'm going to do.
Yes. So he
crowd
cheated.
Who paid, he cheated.
Yeah.
And everybody paid a big buck. And I think that does it make a difference? Like the more people pay, do they feel like I paid to see you and therefore I'm very inclined to laugh?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because also, once you're famous, now you have a persona. People think they know who you are. Yeah, they've come to see Louis C.K. Louis C.K. can say hello, and they're like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They are absolutely primed to laugh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The road comic career that we're describing, though.
Yes.
Is not the end goal of just about anybody, right?
No, I think...
Like, that's paying your dues. That's making your bones. What people want is to sell out theaters.
Yes.
But I think that there's a whole other world of opportunities that exist for comics that a lot of people have their sights set on, right?
Yes. And but that said, I think there... I know some comics who are older and they still do the road, and I think they're okay with that.
Yeah.
And that was maybe their goal, or maybe they're just happy there or whatever. But so... And they enjoy it.
Yeah. I used to live like down the street from the hotel where all the comics stayed in Montreal at Just for Laughs.
Oh, yes.
So I'd always finagle like press access and I would just go interview a bunch of
comedians.
Was
it the Delta or the Hyatt?
The Delta.
Yeah. I remember.
Yeah. I was just like a comedy nerd who wanted to talk to these guys. And sometimes I'd find a story. I'd find a place to publish the story. And sometimes I would just waste their time and interview them. I remember I interviewed Orny Adams.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the summer that they were filming him
comedian?
For that comedian film.
It's amazing.
And George Shapiro,
yes.
the agent, was there with him, who was, of course, played by Danny DeVito in the movie, but Andy Kaufman.
Yes.
One of the guys behind Seinfeld. And just a diminutive old Jewish dude who's just kind of listening to this interview where Orny is just coked up to the gills, or seemingly so, and going on about how his star is rising, his rocket's taken off, everybody's on him, and he's going to have a sitcom soon, and he's going to have this, and these opportunities are coming his way, all of which failed to materialize, of course.
Yes.
And then I kind of turned over to George for comment,
who's
his manager, who's supposed to be hyping him, and George goes, "The wonderful thing about a comedian is they can always work." you can always go on the road.
Well,
so he was deflating the balloon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the most pragmatic or practical, realistic way to think about a comedian. We know a trade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can like you just need you and a microphone and you can you know ostensibly
it's all in our head. We don't need no props. You know, right. You can walk into a room and theoretically make the room laugh.
I take it that your goal is not to subsist on that.
Road gigs
alone. Like,
no.
So how do you make a living? How do I make a living?
Yeah. That's a great question.
Okay.
And I like to describe it as a patchwork quilt.
Mm-hmm.
So I do stand up. I sometimes write. Maybe I'm in a commercial or a little voice work.
Who do you write for?
I'll write maybe for TV shows. Sometimes I've written things for theloop.ca, a website, kind of comedic but factual stuff. I've done book reviews for Maclean's magazine, the National Post. Sometimes I'll write kind of a humorous essay. So I piece all of these things together.
What about, I see you a lot on, like, comics want to get on TV. Comics want to get on the radio.
Yes.
Like, you do that kind of stuff.
Yes, I do the debaters a lot on CBC Radio. TV, I'll do, like, Winnipeg Comedy Festival, which where also they do a taping.
Yeah.
And then they put that on TV. Or Comedy Now, which doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
Which was our only way to get individual comics with their own special in Canada. Which is right.
So we do have an infrastructure, and the CBC has... a portal now, the Punchline, and then we have a comedy cable station, which is sort of just discussing this on the show. It's sort of kind of mandated to act as a bit of a
Comedy
hub.
Network.
Yeah, we have the Comedy Network, and then we have like this big festival, Just for Laughs, mm-hmm. You know, moving into Toronto. And
yes,
so we have these institutions.
It's true.
How are those institutions working from the perspective of a comedian in Canada?
They are there and they work.
They are there.
I think there's a lot of, like, I'm applying, I've just applied for my papers to move to the U.S.
Okay.
Most of my friends have either just started or have their papers or they're thinking about it. And I think the shame in Canada is that, think about, like, I can think of 5 sitcoms that were maybe on TV or made last year in Canada. We had Spun Out, Package Deal, Working the Angles, Mr. D, and I think Satisfaction was on television. That's 5 shows.
I'm familiar with 2 of those.
Yes,
titles.
I'm surprised you're even familiar with 2. Canadians barely watch Canadian television. Moreover, that's 5 shows.
So you and every other working comic are like, can I write for that show? Can I be on that show?
And maybe there's 5 writers for each show. So maybe that's 25 jobs.
Yeah.
Think about the States. Like, ABC probably makes 5 of its own shows.
Yeah.
Right? And then think of all of the networks.
And then there's all the pilots that never made it.
All the pilots.
But still, people got paid a lot of money to write and perform.
Clearly, there's more jobs than just those 5 shows I mentioned, but it is, and there are less people here, too. There's way more people in the States vying for jobs, but it's just this kind of, and it's a small pool. I think there are buddy systems, which, you know, like, he's my friend, I'll hire him. You know, it's...
Cronyism. Right.
Okay. It's hard to get your foot in. And even my foot is kind of in, but I still am often unemployed.
Yeah.
You know, probably 50% of the year, I don't have a job.
Uh-huh.
You know? A lot of people don't even like the shows that are being made, and yet they're vying for the jobs on those shows. And then they get one, and they're like, oh, I got a job on, you know, this hour's 22 minutes. And then people are like, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Because nobody likes that show. And so it's this kind of like...
Like if you were in the States and you got on The Daily Show or John Oliver, other comics would be like, amazing, so cool.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that has that.
There's nothing here. There's nothing here that has respectable...
Has there ever been like a show that everyone was like, that's so great that you got on that show and like that everybody wanted to be writing for that was like, you thought you could do something really special?
I mean, I think the John Doerr show is the best Canadian TV show I can think of that was made in the past kind of ever, like since maybe Kenny versus Spenny, like you're saying, that was kind of like
The Comedy Network did that a few years ago.
It did 2 seasons and then it got canceled.
So what about Just for Laughs?
What about it? Like, do I love it? What's going on with it? Like, what?
How does that factor into it? Because like they have, I remember they have like, there's the New Faces show to get you out there.
Yep.
If they like you, they can do all sorts of things for you.
Right. Well, I mean, it's interesting you bring up that year you were there when Orny Adams was there. I think that was just around the time that Just for Laughs was changing, in that it used to be the place. You would go, you would kill, you get a sitcom.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it worked.
Yeah.
That, it does not work that way at all anymore. maybe what you'll get is management or an agent, U.S. representation. That's what any Canadian would be hoping for.
Right.
And also Americans, you know, hope to be seen by the industry. But now, I mean, it's still a great showcase and it's an awesome experience and you meet a lot of people.
But it's exposure.
It's exposure.
But it's not a page. Like, can you live off of Just for Laughs gigs? Is there?
No, you do let's say you do a taping at Just for Laughs, which means you do a big show and they tape it for television. They show it later on television. So that is about maybe $2,000.
Uh-huh.
And so
it doesn't get much
better
than
that. Pays for your July.
Yeah.
But not.
Right, right.
Right.
So between CBC and the Comedy Network, they don't do specials? You can't get on TV with your own special now?
No, there's no half hour to an hour comedy special.
Are there shows where I remember used to watch improv.
Night at the Improv.
Yeah.
So that's, for instance, what they'll do at Just for Laughs or Winnipeg Comedy Festival or Halifax Comedy Festival. They'll tape a whole show and then it'll be, 7 minutes of Rebecca Kohler, 7 minutes of Chris Locke, 7 minutes of Sarah Hennessy. So we're still on TV, but it's not our own special.
And you're maxing out at one appearance and something like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, it's the exposure value is probably more than you're going to get in terms of direct payment from something like that.
You mean we don't do it for the money, we do it for the exposure? Is that your question?
Yeah, I mean
we do it for both.
Yeah.
I remember I had a job once, a writing job, and I wasn't having a great time. And I was talking to my agent and I said, if they offer to extend me, I think I should just say no. And she was like, "Are you crazy?
Yeah.
You never turn down work in this industry."
Right, right.
And she's right. I mean, there are so few. If you have a job, you suck on it like a leech to a bloody piece of skin, man. Sorry.
Yeah, as a leech would.
Okay.
I guess what I'm driving at or trying to figure out.
Yeah, get it out of me.
It's not a newsflash to anybody that being a stand-up comedian is very competitive, very difficult.
Right.
To earn a living doing that.
No.
What I'm curious about is if you are a successful stand-up comedian in Canada, is that a job? Can you actually earn, is there enough in place through these different systems
I see.
For you to sustain a career here? Or is this just a place? I mean, I think always people were hoping to make it big in the States. Now must you make it big in the States if you are to be a career comedian?
That's a really good question, and it is hard to answer because there are so many different types of comedians. So what we talked about before, like you were saying, people, you got your clean 7 minutes that anyone will laugh at, right? So we have, there are corporate comics who,
right?
Corporate gigs are how you make your money.
Yeah. Do you do those?
Corporate gigs are, to me, like taking Buxley cough syrup. I don't enjoy them.
Uh-huh.
I am not well suited to corporate gigs. I am a quote unquote edgy comic. I sometimes talk about sexual intercourse.
Right.
I can do a corporate set and I have, but it's this you get there and they'll be like, "No, remember, it's clean, clean, clean." And you're on stage and then you start realizing.
Where are you on stage? This is a new idea to most people. Like, where is the corporate comedy
club?
Okay,
so corporate gigs usually happen maybe in like a hotel convention room.
Uh-huh.
Or is that the word? Conference room.
Right.
So hotels, sometimes bars, which are tricky.
Our conference, they bring in all the conference attendees to a bar. And
yes.
So we have a comedian here for
yes.
you.
Yes. Right. Yeah. So it's like a big staff party. Often it's like, I did like Soft Mock's employee party, Soft Mock Shoe Company. So all of the Soft Mock employees. And corporates are a very touch and go atmosphere because everyone is with their coworkers.
Yeah.
And so you tell a joke that maybe someone might consider inappropriate.
Can I laugh at a tampon joke in front of my boss? I don't know.
Because my boss is watching. Exactly. Yeah. So corporates are very, and the people that are good at corporates, God bless them. And I don't know if I wish I had that challenge. Talent. It's not my.
Yeah.
You can make an extraordinary living if you're a good corporate comic.
Yeah.
That said, I don't want that living.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are avenues. Yeah. Do you know a lot of comics who are 55 and doing okay?
Yeah. Absolutely.
That
yes.
Exists.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is absolutely possible.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I don't know that it's easy. You have this patchwork quilt, and some years there's a bunch of squares missing and you're cold.
Yeah.
You know, the reason I wouldn't settle on just being a comic is that you do get older and you get tired. I mean, I'm already tired. Sometimes I have gigs that start at 10:30 and I'm like, I'd rather be in bed.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no stability. And that's why writing, or maybe, you know, having being a series regular on a show, that's obviously a much.
Yeah. It's funny that that's the goal for stability, because, of course, those, you know, in the best case scenario, a series is there for 7 years. Like,
it's not
like,
even stable.
That's a miracle, you know.
But, I mean, I was,
and it's seasonal, right?
Oh, yeah. And I was at a job interview a couple weeks ago for a writing job. Didn't get it. But they were like, by the way, you know, if this job extended, you would work for this month. And then there's an optional period where you would do post-production. And that's a 6-month gig. And my eyes kind of, I think my mouth opened, you know, and they were, I was like, we don't get 6-month jobs.
Right.
You know, that is long-term employment to us.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But how has the internet changed all of this?
Oof, that's something I struggle with, because Twitter is huge, right? As we all know. And comedians tweet funny things, or you would hope, right?
They try.
Yes. They try. I know people that have been hired off Twitter. That's a famous. I mean, what's her name? Megan Amram, I think. She got hired to write for the Oscars, and now she writes on a famous show, which is slipping my mind, but all from Twitter. Like, I don't think she'd ever had a writing job in her life, but she wrote excellent tweets. So the people that are like 6, 8, 10 years younger than me.
They're just on it.
That is like, it's like they came out of the womb that way.
Yeah.
And so I actually do feel at a slight disadvantage, not disadvantage, but I'm like, ugh, because when I started, this is my point, when I started doing stand-up, I thought, all I have to do is be an excellent stand-up comic, and everything will work out.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's kind of naive. It was kind of naive regardless of the internet, but the internet has really made it. Now I have to think about making videos that I can put on YouTube and tweeting a lot.
Right.
And what's on my Instagram? And what about my Pinterest wall? And the thing that bothers me, a lot of people have an amazing internet presence. You go see them live.
Right.
Eh.
Right.
Right?
Like, if you were kind of in your undergrad and, like, just making videos for fun and tweeting for fun, you probably would, like, why am I going to go on the road and do a set of Yuck Yucks?
Yeah.
Right? Because you can reach, I mean, you look at, like, those Lonely Island guys, or, like, there's people who kind of, like, immediately connect with a big audience.
I'm doing stand-up for my living room.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then and that's an easier product to get in the hands of, like, talent scouts and people like that, or people making writing decisions. You know, it always seems strange to me that if you're a really excellent, like, there's this craft of stand-up, it's eons old.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you do that really, 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 really well, you get to be on a sitcom that's usually ass. You know?
Right. Yes.
Like, you're not actually doing stand-up. The reward for being a great stand-up is you're writing for somebody, or you're playing a wacky character on a sitcom. I don't know, maybe it makes more sense to make a silly video in your bedroom and then make a silly sitcom for a TV network.
Like, then go and do.
Yeah, like this weird intermediate step of, like, being a seasoned expert
stand-up
comedian, when that's not actually the job you're going to be.
That's not something that you can. That's interesting.
You're auditioning for a job that isn't that.
That's true. But funny is funny.
Yeah.
You would hope.
Given that you have all these institutions, private and public, I mean, you know, the CBC is a public institution that has said, we're going to dedicate ourselves to a certain extent. Some of this money is going to comedy. We're going to have a comedy platform.
Right.
We're interested in the business of comedy. The Comedy Network gets a CRTC license to be the comedy hub,
mm-hmm.
and they get all this subscriber money to be a comedy hub.
Mm-hmm.
And then Just for Laughs is a private organization that, you know, I mean, a lot of their broadcasting is on, you know,
stations,
and their TV is public funded in many different ways. But there's no shortage of, like, people showing up at those institutions who have jobs every day, who are part of, like, supposedly a comedy industry.
Very good point.
Is there somewhere right now where a bunch of cranky comedians are saying, here's how we would run it if we, like, this is what should be in this country but isn't?
Yes. I think there's a struggle with the people who run these networks. They're often not comedians. They're usually not comedians. And there's, I think, Canadians in television are risk averse.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, CBC dedicates an X amount of dollars to comedy programming. And then, you know, I know people that go to the CBC and they're like, I've got this great show idea. And CBC is like,
The race to get a show made is a race where you're in a dead heat competition with dozens of others to get budgets that are, like, I think conservatively $500,000 an episode. shouldn't they just be putting a lot more stand-up on the air? Like,
that's a great point.
Like, isn't it like super cheap? And we have clubs throughout the country where there are people entertaining other people and making them laugh with just a person on a stage.
Right.
It works on TV. It's been tried many times.
Yeah.
And we have first-rate talent that goes on to great things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, wouldn't a solution be just to put a lot more of that on CBC and the Comedy Network?
Yes. Could you please call them? I know. And I mean, CBC will be airing, for instance, a bunch of the Just for Laughs tapings that just took place.
Yeah.
Comedy Network also will be airing a bunch. So maybe they're like, well, we film it Just for Laughs. That's good enough. The Comedy Network used to be part of the Comedy Now program, which was the 30 minutes to an hour. And that got canceled. I don't know why.
The debaters is can be very funny, but like I kind of rather hear those comics just doing their material.
I know that would be awesome. Yeah, no, you make very good points. Why is that not happening? I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I mean, is it because, like, I remember when I did my Comedy Now, the guy that ran Comedy Now, Millen Cruz Sharples, said, "Now remember, the viewer might be sitting in her kitchen in Saskatchewan with, you know, rose petals on her wallpaper." Like, it was...
What a terrible thing to say to a comedian.
Well, I mean, but his
let's patronize and disrespect. I want you to imagine your audience as somebody who you don't want to meet and who won't understand you. Go.
Well, no, and that was his point. And I think that kind of, in one category, is Canadian television in a nutshell. They are really worried about that person sitting in their kitchen in Saskatchewan.
Yeah. If the Comedy Network were to put on a half-hour special that was amazing, no one would be like, "This is Canadian. I'm not even going to watch this."
I think they would.
Really?
I do that sometimes. I was watching a movie last
night. How do you know
night.
It's Canadian? Because it looks Canadian.
Oh, I can smell Canada.
So maybe that's
I was watching
it.
A movie last night. 2 minutes in, I heard like one word and I was like, "I think this is Canadian." And then the next shot, a guy had a maple leaf on his t-shirt and I was like, mm-hmm.
I have that same reaction to scripted stuff because it looks Canadian and the production values aren't as good and it's got like little telltale signs everywhere and I'm like, no. But like stand-up could be like...
No, stand-up could be great, yes.
But I mean, like, should there be some like production value difference between an American and Canadian stand-up special? Like that should be replicable.
Well, there was one with the Comedy Nows. They used canned laughter. After the fact, they didn't record the audience. And like my Comedy Now, not to toot my own horn, I killed. The audience was killing themselves. And if they had taped the audience reaction and just put it naturally into my show as it was recorded, that canned laughter ruins things.
That's so obvious that it would, though.
Yes.
Why do they do
That's
that?
That's a very good question. All they need to do is get some better microphones and mic the audience.
You know what they also do that is like kind of death to comedy?
What?
They call it things like
Comedy Now. And then
right?
There's like a green, neon green spray paint logo. Comedy Now.
Yeah, it's like get ready to laugh.
I don't know.
That's death, right?
I don't know who's making that.
Like the American comedy specials, like they kind of come on really like gangbusters and struggle. It's like, yeah, it's Chris Rock,
bigger, bland,
yeah, shit. This is like it's intense. They're not like, all right, everybody, waka waka. And then there's like the CBC radio thing, which is like, I have to give props to This Is That.
I was fooled the first time I heard it.
They have done a pretty good job, not always a great job, but I think a pretty good job of recreating the sonics of a CBC radio newscast. And the brilliant thing is that in their online news feed, it shows up as a CBC.ca. It looks like a CBC news story. So they fool people all the time with it.
They get a lot of hate mail.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Yeah. That's like
See,
a nice
that's
thing that
something-
happened.
Yes, that I find surprising.
Yeah, and somebody had some balls there to say like, all right, we are going to get a lot of listeners really angry with us. People are going to feel fooled. They're going to think that it's real.
Yeah.
Let's just do this anyhow.
Yes.
That happened, you know?
You're right. It did happen. That is a good example of somebody, like you say, having some balls. And I think, because I also am of the theory, some people get upset. Oh, that's too bad. You also get, you just got 1,000 more listeners because they want to know what's going on. Like, I think you have to make a bit of a mess to clean a mess, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's just radio, too. Like, half the people who listen to Stern listen because they hate them. You know, it's just, it's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay.
True.
Like anything really good is going to have people on either side of it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. That is your Canada Land show. I hope you enjoyed it. You can email me at jesse@jessebrown.ca. I read them all. I respond when I can. I'm on Twitter at Jesse Brown, and the website is at canadalandshow.com. Check out our sponsor, Squarespace. The offer code, good for 10% off, is Canada Land. Next episode will be up on Monday. If you like this show, recommend it.
Hey, I need you to pay close attention to this message. It is not an ad. This is about Canada Land, and this is about you. You need to know that the news crisis is about to get a lot worse. You've heard about the layoffs. We're about to have news closures, and it's very likely that we're going to be seeing the defunding of the CBC. Where are you going to get your information from? What can you do about this? You can support Canada Land. We need you to. And so for this month and this month only, you can become a Canada Land supporter and get everything our supporters get for just $2 a month. That is an almost 80% discount. The clock is ticking on this. It disappears at the end of the month, and then we will not offer it. We need your support. We need to keep news coverage alive in Canada. Go right now to canadaland.com/join. And thank you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.